This morning's public reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and picking up at verse 22. Luke chapter 12 this morning, and verse 22 to verse 40. Luke 12, 22 to 40. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why taking thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he openeth and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. We know today that there are lots of people who are forced to run to doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists. We have a lot of people today, beloved, that have so many worries and so many concerns. So many people, beloved, are so afraid of life that some don't even get out of bed because they're afraid to face a new day that God's given to them. And we know that the most extreme solution to anyone's anxiety and fear is what? Suicide, the taking of one's life. I believe that as we have read and as you and I heard what we just got done reading, what seems to be snippets from the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of this rings with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And once again, just because Jesus said it one time, there are other times that Jesus may have said it again and said it in a different way, but nonetheless it has the ring of that original giving forth, like in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Here we find probably another rendering of those same words, those same concepts, those same ideas. That should not disturb us at all. Jesus did repeat himself. I know I repeat myself. Others have told me so. So I know that I repeat myself. And there's a good reason for that, because some of you don't get it the first time. Not the second, not the third, not the fourth. Some people will never get it, even though they've been reminded. So I think that as we read all of this, I think this is Jesus' prescription for anxiety control, to limit acid reflux because of a nervous stomach, because you're constantly, or I'm constantly, worrying and fretting over things that we cannot control. Jesus tells us, for instance, verse 22, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." Now, is Jesus here telling us not to be concerned on what you put on? I don't think so. Is Jesus saying here, wear your clothes until they wear out, and then you can go out there in public without clothes? You don't need to go to the store and maybe change a few articles of clothing because of wear and use? No. I think what he's telling us here is, don't be overly burdened and overly driven by the compulsion that you find people today. A lot of people, beloved, dictate their identity on how they dress and what they wear. Look at me. I'm special. Look at me. I can afford this outfit because I know that you can't. I think that's what Jesus here is driving at. Our identity should never be based on the clothes we wear, the jewelry wrapped around our neck, the car that we drive, or the size of our wallet. It ought to be one's character that should shine forth. Who are you on the inside? Anybody can paint a barn and make it look pretty on the outside. But if there's a whole lot of muck that needs mucking on the inside, all the paint in the world is not going to change the fact that you need to muck out the barn because of the waste from the cows. Get the point? Verse 24, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have a storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more are you better than the birds?" Beloved, I haven't seen too many birds building barns and silos in the backyard, and yet God feeds them. Verse 25, which one of us can take thought, can add any, even a half an inch to one stature? "Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, King Solomon, and all of his kingly glory, which the Queen of Sheba said what? Not even a half has been told of what I've seen." Jesus says, despite all the glory and splendor of Solomon, the lily, even Solomon's beauty and majesty and his kingly courtroom cannot be compared to the lilies that he's referring to. Verse 28, "If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow you're going to cast it into the oven and burn, how much more of you, my dear friends, oh ye of little faith, don't you think God cares about you?" I think this is a beautiful remedy for anxiety control, acid reflux control, biting nails control, and losing one's sanity control. Learning to trust God. Verse 29, Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." Notice, a doubtful mind, an unbelieving mind, a doubting mind, unbelief. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things." But then notice the key. Verse 31 is the key. Verse 31 is the Mount Everest peak. "Rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock." Notice, "for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And beloved, he wasn't speaking to dead people. He was speaking to people who were alive and heard him. The kingdom was not being offered. The kingdom was being proclaimed. It was being presented. Now, does verse 33 means you have to become a pauper and live on a subway grate? Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth? Jesus here is not advocating that you get rid of everything you have and become a monk or become a hermit and go hide in a cave for the rest of your life. He's accentuating that we should have our priorities and our treasures and that which we value in its proper setting. Seek God and His kingdom first, and let all the other cares and all the other little toys and the trinkets that you may own to be in subjection to the pinnacle of the Christian life. Seek God, seek His kingdom, and the rest will take care of itself. Can you see the anxiety control? Who needs to go to a psychiatrist? Who needs to take tons of medication, uppers and then a downer? Beloved, this is a free prescription. This comes without cost. You don't need to go to a doctor. Dr. Jesus has just written the prescription here in these words. Notice verse 34. For where your treasure is, there I will find you. That's where your heart is at. So, beloved, he was talking to people there in the middle of the first century, or at least the first third part of the first century. And so these people had the same concerns and the same worries and the same fears and the same doubts that you have. They may have dressed differently. They may have had a different menu on the table. But, beloved, human nature hasn't changed. Jesus is talking as if he's talking to people today. And then this concept of waiting for him. I believe here, especially in verses 38, 39, and 40, verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. This had a whole lot of relevance to these people, because in 70 AD, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, and the thief was going to come in the night, metaphorically speaking. Jesus did come upon that generation and destroyed their city and their temple, because it was no longer needed. Christ left another temple, you, the church. Well, may the Lord richly bless His word.